Well, hello, Hickory Church family. I'm standing in the auditorium on Friday, and it feels a little awkward because I got Seth here to be able to record this for you, and hopefully you'll be able to listen to it on Sunday and find some encouragement with it. I know this is not exactly how we want it, but I do believe that it's the safest way for all of us is to not meet here. But we're meeting in our hearts, we're meeting in our homes, we're meeting in the Word. Continue to encourage everyone by phone calls and just be able to send letters out to each one. And we'll just keep praying for this whole thing to get by us real quickly. And I just pray for your safety. Actually, I just got a text just a few minutes ago before starting this recording, and Cammie has texted the first Catawba County confirmed case of the coronavirus. It was in one of our nursing homes. We don't know which one. They didn't name that. The person is in the hospital and is right now reportedly doing well. And so we're thankful for that. So I'd like to begin with a word of prayer with you. And even though it's 2 days before, we can pray this prayer together and just hope for the best and hope in our God. Dear God, I want to approach you as our creator, one who is in control, that can control things that we can't. And we just ask you in a mighty way, through our praise and our honor and our reverency towards you, that we will trust you, obey you, and watch you work as you hold back this virus, that you actually help our leaders to be able to find a way to slow it down and also find the way to stop it. And we pray for all the families who have been affected throughout this whole world. But Father, what Satan loves to use, you can use to your glory. And we would pray that people would start thinking about a serious, deadly virus that goes along more eternal. And that is the virus of sin. And I pray that more people is thinking about their life, what happens for when it's over here, and that they would use this in order to be able to begin their life with you and by following Jesus, your Son. And so for all those who love you, all things can be good. Those who seek after you can be saved. And I just pray that many believers will come from this instead of the world turning against you. Again, I'm thankful to be able to share this message, and I pray that it's a message of encouragement to all today. And it's through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, all of us say together, amen. What I want to do is share with you, because some of you don't get on social media, and understandably so. Also, some here in our congregation don't even have a computer and are unable to hear this. So I pray that as you're talking to them this week, that you'd be able to share some of what you heard through this message. And actually, I'm going to read the message. I don't own these words, but they come from Jimmy Seitz. And Jimmy Seitz, if you kind of remember, is a Christian, a believer, a preacher, an evangelist that we had here speak at our congregation a few years back. And also one of those events, his father, Carol, came along and taught us in Bible class, and And since then, he has already has gone on to be with God in his eternal arms. But I'd encourage you, anytime that you get access to a computer, that you can get on the internet and just look up Jimmy's messages that he has. And it's www.jimmysites.com. And it'd be capital J and capital S. So www.jimmysites.com in order to be able to get other messages from him as well. But this is not all the message that we received, but it was on his Facebook page. But this is just a portion of what he received. And I thought I'd encourage you with some of the words that he had to present about the virus, because he had recently gone through the time with the tornadoes through Nashville and was helping with that, and then the onset of the virus, and kind of just talking about what do we do when our contentment turns to chaos? What are we supposed to do? And so I'm going to focus in on part of his Facebook article that presents about the virus. If you want to read the whole thing, you'd be able to get on his Facebook page and be able to read that. But starting out, he said, I'm sitting in my house on a Saturday morning, contemplating what all has happened in the last 48 hours in the world. You got the NCAA March Madness is gone. Megan feels disappointed about that as well. Schools and universities are shut down. Churches are closed for meeting. Pro sports season suspended. Disney World for spring breakers closed. Concert tours canceled. St. Patrick's Day parade in New York City canceled for the first time since the year of 1762. Hospitals are filling up. Airline travel from Europe to US suspended. Summer Olympics may be canceled or postponed. The worst stock market decline since 1987. A recession inevitable. And the list goes on and on. Literally every person in the world is going to be affected by the coronavirus in some way. These are unparalleled circumstances in our country and most likely in the world. And we were doing so well. The economy had never seen greater stimulus in the U.S. Our bank accounts and retirement plans were growing. It was set to be a great year in America. Then it all changed in a blink of an eye. A pandemic breakout, a state of national emergency. Once again, contentment turns to chaos. So what is one to do? What is a Christian to do? I don't have the answer as to how to prevent or cure the virus. I don't know how to detect and dissipate tornadoes before they form or hit. I hate being sick. I don't like having my schedule disrupted. It really discourages me when I finally started getting ahead financially and then have the rug of financial security pulled out from under me. I don't like uncertainty. I much prefer to have everything running like clockwork. And I don't like it when the world feeds on fear and ends up in a frenzy. That fear sinks its fangs into all of us at some point or the other. So what is one to do when contentment turns to chaos? That I can answer. Turn to Jesus Christ. Peace is probably the most sought after commodity on earth. People look everywhere for it and try anything to secure it. And I've got good news for you. If you want the peace that passes all understanding, look no further than Jesus Christ. Joy is another of the most sought after commodities. People are constantly involved in the pursuit of happiness. Trillions of dollars are spent to try to purchase moments of joy. So many of us live with a contingent joy. In other words, if we get the parking space close to the store, then we are happy. But if someone cuts in front of us and takes it, we end up having to park 50 yards further out. We get really irritable. Our joy is contingent upon things going well. But if they go bad, where do we get the joy? We don't have to live that way. If our joy is the joy unspeakable mentioned in the Bible, then the physical things of this life, such as tornadoes or viruses, cannot rob us of our true joy. That joy is based on Christ. Then it becomes a contagious joy. I think it's almost ironic that I would suggest that we focus on Christ when Jesus himself dealt with so many tornadoes and viruses himself. Just look at some scriptures. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of suffering who knew what sickness was. He was like someone people turned away from. He was despised, and we didn't value him. Hebrews 5:7. During his earthly life, he offered prayers and appeals with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Luke 22, verses 39 through 46. He went out and was made his way as usual to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. And when he reached the place, he told them, "Pray that you may not fall into temptation." Then he withdrew from them about a stone throw away, knelt down, and began to pray. "Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. Being in anguish, he prayed more fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling to the ground. And when he got up from prayer and came to his disciples, he found them sleeping, exhausted from their grief. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you won't fall into temptation." Well, Jesus fully understands in every way what we are going through when our contentment turns to chaos. In the midst of the storms, he offers us salvation. I don't mean that he removes every bad thing that could possibly happen to us in this life. I'm talking about the offer of salvation from our sins, the spiritual storms that we cause due to our hard-heartedness and our hard-headedness. It is our sins, the sins of mankind, that caused the natural order of things in the Garden of Eden to be transformed into the unnatural order of things. Sickness and death was introduced in the garden and into the picture because of man's sin. And those of us on this side of the garden live during the period when bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people. And what we are experiencing in the world right now is both of these. So my question is, do we blame God? If we do, we shouldn't. He had everything perfect. We are the ones that messed it up. Besides, God's already enacted a plan to fix everything and to restore the natural order of things. And it's called heaven. And it took sending his own son, Jesus, the Christ, the Lamb of God, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, to die at the hands of every human that he had created. He became both the high priest and the sacrifice for our sins, so that we could become acceptable to God and adopted as his children. Now that's good news. Even in the midst of the most tragic of circumstances on this earth, we have eternal security that cannot be taken away by anything on this earth. We have the peace that passes all understanding, that no matter what hits us in this life, even to the point of death, we are sealed as God's own. We have joy that cannot be described with words, because our joy is not contingent on health or wealth or a perfect back porch bubble in life. And all of this is based on one thing, and one thing only, that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior, and it's in him we find rest. So, to sum this up, Jimmy writes this. Look at it this way. Look at this time as a get to, not a got to opportunity. See the restrictions as love rather than law. They are for the benefit of the human race. And remember what my dad Carol Seitz always said. We are not citizens of this earth trying to get to heaven. Rather, we are citizens of heaven just trying to get through this earth. The momentary troubles are just that, momentary. The best is yet to come. So I encourage you, at this time, stay focused on Christ and not chaos. And I know for most of us, we wish we could be here. You wish that you could be here in this auditorium. And if you're listening to this on Sunday, you want to be here. And that's a good thing. That means that you miss being with each other. But I've heard it described as, in some places, worship has been canceled. Don't cancel worship. We're just canceling meeting together as we worship. Worship can happen in your home. Pick up your Bible and read it. Get on the phone and talk to people. Pray with people. Seek out somebody that needs just some help and find out what that is, and if we can help them, we'd be able to maybe deliver something and place it on the front porch. There's a lot of things to do while we're not able to meet, and I sure hope that this doesn't come across as an enjoyment, because our hearts are aching not meeting together. But use this time to desire that the next time that we can meet together, of how precious and how wonderful it is to have a relationship with God and a relationship with Jesus and a relationship with each other. And until we can meet again, I just pray that you'll stay encouraged to know that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. And we'll pray for safety until the trumpet sounds. But even if death knocks at our door, like it did for our brother Mark this past week, that it's a win-win situation. It would have been a win for us if he would have stayed. But it's a win for him because he's gone on to his true home. And that's in God's arms in heaven. Thank you for listening. I pray that this has been an encouragement, and look forward to the next time that we're able to record something, and especially for the next time we'll be able to get together and remember Christ together and praise his holy name. Have a Jesus-filled day and week. God bless you.